I'm Ryan Peterson. Thanks again for listening to our Voices of Grace podcast. And today I'm really excited to talk with Beth Reed. Beth is the director of missions for Sight.org. And Sight.org is a great ministry that has helped bring sight to hundreds of people in Togo, Africa, that were blinded by cataracts. And Beth always seems to be connected to something going on at Grace. And Beth, I just want to thank you for taking the time, kind of short notice, and you were able to come in today. So thank you for coming in to talk with me.
Yeah, sure.
So first thing, you've gone to Grace for quite a while. How long have you gone to Grace Community?
We have been at Grace UB for 14 years.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So longer than I thought. And how did you guys get connected at Grace?
Well, when we first came to Tyler, some of our college best friends were on staff at Grace. And then I was on staff at Grace for like a year.
Okay.
Before we started having kids. So we've just always stayed there and it's always been our church family.
So give me a little bit of background on you. Mm-hmm. I believe you're a pastor's kid.
Is
that correct?
So, yes.
I would think then you found Jesus at an early age, but just give us a little brief background on you and your story and how you came to know Jesus.
Yeah. So I'm actually a preacher's kid and a missionary kid. Okay. So double whammy against me, but I grew up in the church, and when I was five, I, made a decision to follow the Lord. And, you know, I remember it as if it was yesterday. It was a very powerful experience for me. I felt very strongly that the Holy Spirit was like talking to me and leading me into following Him, even at 5 years old. And
that's so young.
I know. And having kids now, and I see when they were five, I'm like, how in the world did I understand or did I make that decision? But I remember I was very emotional, very, you know, I was just in the car with my mom and all of a sudden just started breaking down. And she's like, what is going on? I just feel like I need to follow the Lord. I don't even remember what happened before that or anything. And so, of course, like she drove straight to the church office and my dad and mom prayed with me and then he baptized me the next Sunday. So, but I don't know. I don't get it either now being an adult, but.
But then, so from a young age, and then you went to seminary, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
Where did you go?
Denver Seminary.
Okay.
Both Austin and I went there and got our MDivs. And
so your husband, Austin, when did you guys meet?
In college.
In college, okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So there are several things I want to talk with you about this morning, but I'd like to start with your family.
Mm-hmm.
We just mentioned Austin, your husband, who's awesome. He is a coach at Brook Hill. Mm-hmm. You guys have four boys, the oldest, Cade and Dex. But your family grew late in 2020 when you were able to bring home Nelson and Kinsley. And, you know, knowing what you guys went through to get Nelson and Kinsley here, it's so amazing to see your family now. It just brings joy to my heart. Can you explain to people, because a lot of people aren't going to be familiar with this story,
sure.
Just the process, how long it took to make your family whole to what it is today, and the struggle to get them here from Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
And how did God, how was He able to give you the faith and patience mm-hmm. to persevere through, I mean, I know it had to be frustrating times.
Yeah, yeah. So early on in our marriage, we knew that adoption would be part of our family makeup. We didn't know exactly when or where or any of that, but so when Cade and Dax were little, we knew that we were done having children and that we wanted to start the adoption process. So now, so it's been 9 years ago that we started the adoption process.
9 years.
Yeah, yeah. And we knew we were open to anything. We said, God, just show us which path to take. Like, should we do domestic, international, foster, what, you know? And through months and months and months of prayer, God made it abundantly clear that we should do international adoption in Haiti. And part of my background is I grew up overseas as a missionary kid, so that made sense for me. I love international cultures and languages and all of that, so that was just it made sense. Yeah. And at the time we were helping out with a ministry that works with children that are trafficked. And so we knew that Haiti had a high number of trafficked kids, and so we just wanted to do whatever we could to keep some kids from being in that situation.
Yeah.
So then we just started the process with Haiti, and we knew it could take 3 to 5 years to, well, originally we just were asking for one child, and then God said, nope, you need to be doing paperwork for two children. Okay. And so, yeah, originally they said 3 to 5 years, and then 3 to 5 years went and passed, and our agency just kept on saying, you know, there's not two children available right now. Are you sure you want two? Maybe just do one and you'll get it faster. So we'd pray, and we'd have all of our friends and family pray. And this happened 2 or 3 times where our agency came to us and said, you really need to, like, you know, maybe just do one kid. And every time we had all of our friends and family pray, every single time the Lord brought the story of Abraham back around to us, and just that faith and waiting. And, you know, I know, like, we know what the Lord said, and we're just going to stick with that, and we're just going to wait as long as it takes. And we ended up waiting 7 years before we were matched, and then we went and met Nelson and Kinsley in Haiti and spent 17 days with them there and fell in love with them, knew for sure these were the kids that God had for us. And then we had to come home, and we thought we would only wait 9 to 12 months to be able to go get them and bring them home, and we ended up waiting 18 months to bring them home. So by the time we brought them home, it had been over 8 years since we started the process.
And I remember talking with you before the boys were here, how difficult it was to be with them and then have to leave them.
Yes.
And for them to, and as children, to trust.
Yes.
We're still going to be here for you. It's going to happen in God's time. But that had to be hard.
Yeah, it was extremely hard. And we didn't expect that we would get so attached to them and they would get so attached to us in 17 days. But we all did, and there were lots of tears. And then we were really worried that the kids would just, after a while, after so many months of waiting, think either we're never coming back, or when we picked them up that they'd reject us, you know, after having to wait so long. But that didn't happen. Like, God was so gracious. He allowed our kids to have a soft heart towards us, you know, even after all that waiting. And so we're very thankful.
I think it's such a God thing, because when you talk about how long it took, and then you're being told, hey, why don't you just get one? And then, you know, I think for people that have seen you guys as a family now, and both boys here, and I love their smiles.
Yeah.
And the joy that they have, and seeing your family whole now, like, it's just like, no, God knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
Even though I know there were probably times in over those years that you're like, God, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But it has to be just so awesome to see it now.
Yeah.
At home every night.
It is. Yeah. And we always just knew in the back of our heads, for whatever reason, that it was going to be two, even before we really started praying about it. We're like, we just have this feeling it's going to be two kids. And, you know, it's not easy with four kids. It's not.
Four boys.
Yeah, four boys. Four, and they're growing so fast. And I feel like my house is just, the walls are caving in with four boys, soon to all be teenagers. But, you know, some days I'm like, what if, you know, life would have been a lot easier if we only had one, you know, or whatever. But God is so gracious and patient with all of us. So
How has grace been able to come alongside you guys during this journey? I mean, I know you've talked about prayer and, but how is the church body, how did they help you through this?
Yeah, man, like you said, prayer. I mean, from day one, they were on board, and just all of our friends and our, at the time, our community groups. We went through two different community groups, like, during the process, because it was such a long process. And so, you know, they did fundraisers for us. And one of my friends from church, she, like, when it was getting closer to time to go meet them, she made these little stickers that said, Reed Family Adoption. And just put them on her doorstep and put a thing on Facebook and said, anybody who wants one of these stickers just to remind themselves to pray for the Reed family, come and get them. And it was just, you know, neat to know that they cared as much as we did, and they were as excited to bring these kids home as we were. And, you know, of course, then when we came home, we didn't have to cook for, I think, 2 months because so many people were bringing us meals.
That's and, so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Well, okay. So you had talked about, you went through a couple community groups. One of the reasons I wanted to have you on is because I feel like a lot of times we talk about missionaries and doing things overseas, mm-hmm. but so many times we're ignoring the people next door to us. Mm-hmm. You have not done that. You are a great example of what it looks like to be missional in your own neighborhood. And a big reason you have been able to connect with your neighbors and those living around you, it all started with a picnic table. Mm-hmm. And I just love this story. Can you share the story of the picnic table, where that idea came from and what the result has been?
Yeah. I can't remember how many years ago it was, maybe 4 or 5, that I listened to a podcast about a turquoise table. I know there's a book called The Turquoise Table. I never actually read it, but I heard the podcast about it. And I was so inspired by it. Basically, the premise is this lady put a picnic table in her front yard, painted it turquoise so that it would stand out, and just sat at the front in her front yard every day just so that she could get to know her neighbors better. And I'm like, man, we have a picnic table in our backyard that never gets used, and it's plain looking, so let's do it. And my husband thought I was crazy, but he, you know, he'll go along with any of my whims. And so he helped me move it into the front yard. And then my other neighbor, who was also a Grace member, she had a paint sprayer, and she walked all the way from her house with this huge paint sprayer just to help me paint my table turquoise. And it was just really fun. And so then my kids every day would go in the front and either play in the front yard or get their bikes on the front, you know, on the street in the front. And I would just sit there and read and watch them. And sure enough, neighbors were walking by or their kids were playing outside. And so our kids would play together. And really quickly, we got to know most of the neighbors, you know, across the street from our house and down the street. And it was just really fun building that community. And I think God's timing was perfect because really quickly after we put the table out front was when the horrible tragedy in our neighborhood happened, where a girl was kidnapped and killed. And our whole neighborhood bonded. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. And we were all praying daily together, and we were meeting in each other's houses to pray and to encourage each other. And it just was a catalyst for, you know, getting to know all of our neighbors in a couple different ways, not just with the picnic table, but that was the beginning of it.
And I think one of the cool things is you had told me that the table, you don't use it as much. You're not, you know, right. But that's because now you're actually in the living rooms
yes.
of your neighbors.
Yeah.
And just to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that our picnic table is now kind of falling apart, but I'm going to keep it out there forever. just as a reminder. But yeah, we don't use it very much because we're in our neighbors' houses and they're in our houses, and we're just doing life together, you know, watching movies together, eating dinner together, praying together, crying together, just real life together.
And it's not easy.
No.
I mean, that's the thing. This we're called to do it,
yeah.
But it is not easy. And I think a lot of people, I know when my wife and I moved last year, I felt like at our old house, I was not good at being a good loving neighbor. I'd been there a while, and it's like, well, now I'm embarrassed to go introduce myself. So when we moved, I wanted to be very intentional about we're going to try to seek out every neighbor.
Yeah.
Do you think we all just have that fear? I mean, did you have that fear? How did you get past it?
Yeah, for sure. You know, at that point, we had lived in that neighborhood for 6 years already. And there were several families that we had never met. And I was so embarrassed that we didn't know them.
Right.
So the table was just a natural way of being like, hey, we got kids the same age. Let's just let them play together. And I'm sorry, I don't know your name, you know. But yeah, it's really community with your neighbors is not easy. I was just thinking this morning that it's a roller coaster ride. And, you know, I was just praying, like, God, is it okay for me to get on this roller coaster with them? You know, I know everything with boundaries and all that stuff, but I felt like God was just saying, yeah, man, we rejoice with those who rejoice and we mourn with those who mourn, and we're in it. We're in this life with them, and it's not easy. It's heart-wrenching sometimes, but God's working through it.
Yeah, that's, and you've inspired us. I think my wife and I were wanting to get a picnic table in our front yard too. I feel like everybody should. I wish that would be a Grace thing, like we'd see everyone at the picnic table. Okay, so you have obviously, you're being missional in your neighborhoods. But I mentioned earlier, you're the director of missions for site.org. Mm-hmm. And this is such a great ministry. And I didn't even know about it until this past year when I was working on a project for you guys. What was it about that ministry that pulled at your heart that this was something you wanted to be a part of? And I guess just let people know kind of what you guys do.
Yeah. So several years ago, I just knew that God was asking me to really step out and look for a missions organization to work with and to use my background with that. And actually, Stephen Wycliffe connected me with Lewis Swan, the director, and just knew it was a perfect fit immediately. And I love that the organization uses national workers to do all the work. Like, so we have right now we have 12 staff members in Africa, and they're all African, and they've all been trained medically in Africa, and they do all the work. And Lewis and I are just here supporting them, cheering them on, and getting other people here and Tyler to partner with them. So it's just so neat because you don't see that very often with organizations, with missions. You know, it's a lot of, everybody's always asking me, so which doctor do you use in Tyler to do all the surgeries in Africa? And I'm like, none. Like, I mean, we've had some go, but we have an African doctor and he's amazing, and I wouldn't want to work with anybody else, you know. And it's just neat because God uses that to open the door for the gospel. You know, we do these surgeries, and then since we have all African staff, they're able to minister to these people in their heart language, in their culture. You know, there's not all these extra hoops to jump through. The government trusts us because we have all African staff, and it's just so neat. I love this organization. I love what I get to do with them and every once in a while I get to go and experience it firsthand. And
that's what amazing. Is it like when you've been there in person?
Yeah. So of course, before COVID, I went once a year. I haven't been since, but, and for me, I'm a photographer, so I get to use those skills while I'm there. And man, it's my favorite thing in the world to take pictures of these people right as they're getting the patches taken off their eyes and they're seeing for the first time in their lives, and the joy and everything on their face is just amazing. And kids, you know, I get to see all these kids get to see for the first time in their lives. And it's crazy. I can't even fathom it sometimes, you know? But my favorite thing to do is pray with people before surgery. They're so scared. They're so nervous while they're waiting for surgery, because they're awake. They're not put under or anything. And there's this one woman, she was just shaking. She was my age and she had like a little baby with her, and she had never seen her baby because she went blind during pregnancy. And she was just shaking the whole time. And so before surgery, I went and I just held her hand and I talked to her, and I had a translator and asked if I could pray for her. So I just started praying with her, and she never let go of my hand. So I walked with her into the surgery room and held her hand the entire time she was having a surgery, which it felt like forever, but it's only a 15-minute surgery, but still. They said like her blood pressure started going down, like her hands stopped shaking. And she just was able to calm down because I was able to sit with her and pray with her. And, if anybody knows me, they know that I hate needles and I hate medical stuff, which is funny since I work for a medical ministry, but, I would never, ever, ever have sat in a surgery room before that. But it didn't, none of that mattered in that moment, because I was just able to be, Jesus's love to her in that moment. And so
that's so cool.
Yeah.
When I was talking with Lewis Wan, earlier, he had talked about just how amazing it is, because when this ministry started, I don't even think he knew, is this going to last?
Right.
And now to see, I mean, just more, there were like twice as many surgeries you guys did last year, and now it's going to be even more this year in 2022.
Yeah.
How cool is it for you to see what God is doing with this?
Yeah, it's crazy. So I've been with them for 6 years now, and I cannot tell you just how much it's grown in the last 6 years. It's crazy. And so we're going on our 10th anniversary this year of, being an organization. And my first year there, we were struggling just to get 400 surgeries done in a year. And then this year, our goal is to get 1,500 done, you know. And in the beginning, ministry was always important. The gospel was always important. But it wasn't this like natural thing that was happening. It felt like kind of forced in the beginning. And now the Spirit's just moving so naturally through these surgeries. It feels like we don't have to do anything, because the Lord is just moving so strongly, and people are, you know, coming in droves to hear the gospel and to see what's going on and what this is all about. We keep going further and further north every year in the country, which there's more and more Muslims in the northern part of the country. And so,
of Togo, mm-hmm. We're talking, okay.
Yeah, and so at first it was a little bit scary, but, you know, the darker it is, the more God's light shines in a place. And so we're seeing that. And by stepping out in faith in a scary place, that's where we're really seeing God move even more than ever. So,
And that kind of, as we wrap up here, I kind of want to leave with that last question for you, because I look at all the things we've talked about today, from the long process for adoption, working with site.org and the things going on in Africa, and then even being missional. One of the scariest things for people, it may sound silly, is being missional in your own neighborhood. How have you been able to get past the fear and all these things and just put your trust in God? Because it sounds simple, but we struggle with it as Christians. How have you been able to do that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think it's just a daily stepping out in faith. And, you know, when you look at something, try to look at something big picture, it's scary. It's really scary. But if you just take one step a day that the Lord's asking you to do, it's not so scary. You know, kind of like what I was saying with site.org, like in the beginning, it was small, and we would have never known that 10 years down the road that God would be blowing this up like this, you know. But we don't have to see that. God knows the big picture. We don't have to see the big picture. We just have to do what he's asking us to do today, one day at a time, one step at a time. That's how God has been working in me personally.
Since you were five, which is the most amazing thing. Well, Beth, thanks so much for coming in. It's been great talking with you, and it's been awesome getting to know you more in the past year, and your family's awesome. Mm-hmm. Austin's great, and four beautiful boys.
Thanks.
And it's just been so encouraging for me to get to see your family now and the smiles. And I just appreciate you coming by, and keep doing
thanks.
What you're doing.
You're
an inspiration for all of us.
Oh,
so thank you so much for listening today, and we appreciate your time, and hopefully you will be encouraged by this. And hey, don't live in fear. Trust in the Lord. God knows what he's doing. All right, this is Ryan Peterson signing off. This is Voice of Grace.